Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to the Jimmy program, formerly known as Wretched Radio. What?
Is that how I talk?
What? No, that's not how you talk. But that is how you talk off the air, because you hold fire when we're talking about a subject, and then a break happens, and then all of a sudden I hear a little Jimmy chirping up. What did you want to say about the subject of assurance?
Well, it's kind of it comes off of something that you said. You said Christianity doesn't end with the knowledge of our sin and our depravity, but that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many people have a struggle with assurance, because now they have this knowledge of their sinfulness and it just holds them back so much. But they didn't have that knowledge before of theirs. They chased their sin. They loved it.
Yeah, you can't be a Christian without hating sin.
Right.
You just can't. That's what Jesus was after in the Beatitudes, that we mourn over our sin. That we are the poor in spirit. Woe is me. Look at all my sin. I have a laundry list that never ends. That's the beginning. That's not the end. Don't stay there. Realize that that's the starting place. And maybe, without getting psychobabbly here, maybe for some reason, without getting Freudian in any way, what is it possible that there's something inside of you that won't let yourself be forgiven or feel like you're forgiven or know the joy of your salvation? For whatever reason, is it possible you're more comfortable feeling like you're not in the family than you are in the family? I could be past. It could be familial relationships, your history. It could be your personality. You need to push through that. God doesn't want you staying in the woe is me phase. You should have that feeling. And by the way, that feeling should never go away. And honestly, when that feeling goes away, that is actually one of those times when you should dive in and go, uh-oh, what's the problem here? Why am I not feeling that way? That should be the ongoing present tense heart of the Christian. I can still do these things that my God hates. And when that feeling goes away, that's something worth diving into to consider a little heart surgery, because it should be there forever. Now, I think like so many initial emotions, you know what? Maybe there's something related here. When you first got saved, tell me you were not on a spiritual high. And I think we talked about this, or maybe we just talked about it. Time is a little fuzzy for me. That you lose that initial spiritual buzz, and then you fear, oh no, that means I'm not saved anymore. Oh no, it doesn't. It means that your feelings are changing. They should be maturing. They should be deepening. They should be growing. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. And maybe, just maybe, that same sort of conclusion is being drawn, that your initial repentance, perhaps you wept buckets of tears, but now you don't. You cannot even create a thimbleful. And you've concluded, because my repentance is not as intense as it initially was, that means I'm not saved. Be careful of that. Be careful of that. Now, I know this is perhaps sounding like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, because I actually am, because you never just want to liberate people into hey, don't worry about how you feel about sin. You're gracie graced, man. That's wrong. But we also need to understand that as you grow in the knowledge of God's mercy and his grace and his loving kindness, you're going to be sinning less. Furthermore, Your relationship and your convictions of your status are going to be such where this is what contemporary worship music seeks to do. I think contemporary Christian worship at these church, these mega churches where they're putting on the show, they're seeking to address this for people who don't feel the fire that they once had. And so this worship is intended to get you pumped back up. Be careful of that. Be careful of trying to reclaim the initial emotions that you had at salvation. I've shared this comparison before. It's like marriage. These people who have been married for 50 years, they do not feel the exact same way that they did when they first got married. It's better. It's deeper. It's richer. This is why you see these couples that die within like the same day, as long as it's not that Dutch euthanasia going on, because they just can't live without the other. Do they maybe feel that, oh, look at her, man? Nope, probably not. There might not even be any Eros love in that sense. Those feelings are just gone with the decades. Replaced with something richer. Ditto your Christian walk. Just be careful. Don't fall into one ditch or another. The hyper-grace movement was terrible for Christianity. It identified a problem that people recognize how sinful they are, and they're failing to understand how great God's grace is. And so they turned the gospel into a libertine sort of affair where you just, it's an antinomian, you don't need to worry about nothing. Well, we do, but we shouldn't be consumed by it and we shouldn't be confused by it. Jimmy, anything else you got to say on the subject?
No.
If you're done, may I interrupt the Jimmy program?
Yeah, you can. Take it away.
This is unbelievable. This is absolutely unbelievable. This happened last Friday. I received an email from that woman down the hall. Do you know who she is, Jimmy?
Who's
working on the Purple Project?
Oh, the good-looking one across the hall?
Careful now. That could be a hostile work environment or something.
Mrs. Hicks.
That's the one right there. I asked for an update on Purple. We launched What Time Is Purple? A Desire to Give Away a Million Copies. After 1 week, the Lord ordered 1.1 million copies. Kind of, y'all ordered them so fast, we shot over the million mark. Honest, you want to be encouraged? Be encouraged by that. Because not only did folks internationally say, we'd like to distribute those, so they ordered pallets and half pallets. And they couldn't order cases because we just can't do the shipping internationally like that, but we can do pallets and half pallets. But we said in the States, not Canada, but in the States, you can order pallets, half pallets, and boxes. 2,000 people, 2,000 Christians responded and said, I'm in. Whether it was a case or it was a pallet, 1.1 million copies are accounted for. That means I'm ordering more books as soon as we're done here. We've got to get that filled so we can get them out to everybody. And I share that with you just so that we can be encouraged. This is testimony. By the way, this might be something too that would help your lack of assurance. That you hear stories like this and God is given the credit for successes like this. It should encourage you and it should give you some confidence in the Lord. And so I would just like to do a shout out to everybody who responded. Praise God for your participation and your desire to share the gospel. Praise God for that. And thank you, Lord, for 1 week, 1 week. Amazing.
That is amazing.
If you ordered a pallet or a half pallet, wherever you are, expect an email because we want to confirm that with you. You'll understand this if you're on the up and up. Well, we don't want to be sending a pallet to an atheist who's just trying to get a bunch of booklets that he can throw into the incinerator. So we just want to do some confirming on that. But then we're going to start getting these things shipped out lickety-split. So praise God for that. That's some good news. I got some not-so-good news. Maybe, hopefully not for your church. A church administrator, now this is in a California church, convicted of embezzlement. Number of these stories these days where we hear about this or pastors and their shenanigans. I bring this up not to be a downer, but to remind us, we've got to have safeguards inside of the church. if there's just one person in charge of the books, and if you're that person, well, bless your heart. But I'm sure if you're a believer, you would say, of course, wait, I can have a, open up the books. You can see them any old time that you want to. And if you don't have somebody who's looking at the books besides the person who actually manages the books, you might want to get that person. This is not the first time we've heard of it. It's pastors regularly. This was a former administrator and wife of a former police chief. Convicted of stealing over $360,000, 22 counts of wire fraud at a Presbyterian church. I don't know if it's USA. I don't know if it's America. It doesn't make any difference. It is not a mark against Presbyterians. It means we got sinners. And it means, in this instance, most likely you got false converts. Make sure you've got these systems in place. By the way, this woman, yikes, 20 years in prison. A $250,000 fine for each of the wire frauds and a mandatory 2-year sentence for aggravated identity theft. Got to tell you, that ain't my ideal justice system. This woman should be put to work and every single penny goes to pay it back and then some. And then those people who do horrific things like strangle and rape and murder women. Yeah. Little Genesis 9 for those folks. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today, and thank you for investing in our ministry. I want to ask you if you would go a step further. We need more ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partners because we rely on our supporters to produce all of these resources that reach millions with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus commissioned us at the end of Matthew 28, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations in every corner of the earth, we are asking if you would join this work by helping us to saturate this culture with the hope of Jesus Christ. We promise faithful stewardship with every single gift. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to take our word for that. You can check behind us by checking out the ECFA. We are ECFA certified. 83% of every dollar given to this ministry goes directly to the work of ministry. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and He is the source of this fruit not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's not get carried away, come up. But this is Wretched Radio. A woman who was the church administrator embezzles $360,000 over the course of 5 years. How does that happen? No oversight, no accountability. And we don't want to get carried away with this. We don't need to start doing blood tests and check your 23DNA and me to figure out everything about your entire history. But inside of the church, you're going to have false converts. You're going to have some Christians that fall into grievous sin. And we need to be doing everything we can to safeguard all of the realms that are underneath the church charge. Finances is just one. A lot of widows' mites were embezzled. And the woman, I think she was just buying stupid stuff, shoes, and well, she was paying off her credit card, which is probably more stupid stuff. Those are widows' mites. We should do everything to protect that. And a genuine Christian is not going to care. If you've got somebody who's in charge of the books at your church, and you say, hey, we want you to open those up. We need to see what's going on inside of there. And they go, well, hey, whoa, what is, what, don't you try? I think you would have pretty good grounds for being concerned, because a true Christian isn't going to care. Another realm is kids' ministry, doing the background checks. You just have to do it. And a true Christian is not going to be insulted. They just won't be, because of the safety of the children. Hey, Jimmy, by the way, now this, you can be as unbiased as you can possibly be. The finances here at Gospel Partners Media. And just your observation, you're down the hall from the finance department.
Correct.
Just your observation. How does money get treated around here?
Very carefully. Very, very carefully. Which I appreciate.
It's not very carefully. It's like, hey, why wasn't that form filled out correctly?
Right.
Because we just want to be on the up and up. Besides, we get audited every year. So there's that. But even so, a crook can get away with embezzling money, even with an auditor. We want to operate with integrity. And I know for a fact, if I walked into a finance department and said, all right, right now, open up QuickBooks, I'm looking at them. But it wouldn't even, no, I would be batted. Of course, everything is open. We should be open. And the same thing is true inside of your church. If not, tighten it up. If you have not done background checks for your kids, tighten it up. And if somebody's offended, well, then that was a good exercise that you just went through. Furthermore, regarding the complaints that inevitably will be received by a church, we want to be so careful in this because, look, men do bad things to women and children. They do. And we don't want to fall into the woke wave. But having said that, we need to, I think, as a local church, have to have safeguards in place for dealing with this. What's the procedure? What's the policy? How do you, a woman comes to you and makes said, hey, this happened to me. What's the plan? Don't think about it on your heels, responding for the first time. Do it now. And as long as we're talking about that subject, the DOJ is ending their investigation into SBC leaders over allegations of abuse cover-up. Now, remember, this is not dealing with the abuse per se. It's dealing with the cover-up aspect. The U.S. DOJ completed its investigation into alleged abuse within the Southern Baptist Convention and decided not to file any charges. There were enough complaints, and look, each one of them needs to be taken so seriously. I will say this in defense of the SBC. It is a massive organization. And even though we will hear these stories on occasion, because usually they're not made public, the vast size of the SBC, it's percentage-wise, please note, I'm not minimizing anybody's experience, but percentage-wise, it's really, really low. Having said that, need to be dealing with it. As long as we're talking about the SBC, they're disfellowshipping four more churches, including two that support women pastors. Well done to the SBC. Keep it pure. Know that this is the camel's nose. And if you If you give an inch on the role of women in pastoral ministry, congratulations, you're going to be the Methodist Church, which has just had to slash their budget to its smallest in 40 years after mass exodus from the denomination. Now, I think a lot of those churches should have left when the Methodist Church decided to ordain pastors, so they shouldn't be shocked that the Methodist Church now is going fully woke regarding LGBT stuff. The budget was cut 43%. Woo! This would be one of those instances where that maxim is accurate. Go woke, go broke. That's what's happening to the Methodist Church. That's the legacy money. The Episcopalian Church has so much money. But it won't. It'll eventually run out, because when you're floating your church and your denomination on heritage money that it was given decades ago, that'll eventually run out too. And we evangelicals who are biblically conservative and growing will be more than happy to take care of that church building for you. Because I got to tell you, the Episcopalians, they know how to build a church, don't they? Speaking of the church, according to the FRC, that would be your Family Research Council, attacks against churches doubled in 2023. Vandalism, gun-related incidents, arson and bomb threats used against churches. Jimmy, I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't want these to be called religiously motivated crimes. Mm. I just want them to be crimes.
Right.
Because you open up that door where somebody's motivated by religion, it won't be long before that door swings in the wrong direction and hits us, most likely. Atlanta Church, oh, this is great, honoring Fannie Willis. I think the closing arguments have been offered. Mrs. Friel actually listened to a fair amount of it. She found it just fascinating. She was, this is just so compelling. These closing statements by these lawyers are amazing. So she did it as kind of an academic exercise, but this woman was honored at a church. Hey, wait a second. Jimmy.
Yes.
We're not supposed to be doing anything political inside of the church. What's going on here? There seems to be a double standard there. How some pastors are legally not paying property taxes on their homes. Inside edition, they're at it again. Did you see the infamous airplane hangar sabotage of Ken Copeland? If not, it's worth Googling if you really want to be creeped out. He is one of the individuals that Inside Edition is checking into, because these ministries, which are prosperity-driven, they use every tax loophole available to profit and to gain wealth. Jesse Duplantis lives in a $20 million home outside of New Orleans. He doesn't pay taxes. Why? He calls it church property. Oh, is that what it is? I see. He's gloated about the valuable artwork inside of his 40,000 square foot house. I think that's appropriate for a pastor, to each their own about house size. But for a pastor, 40,000 feet, Jimmy, that's about 10,000 feet bigger than your house.
About 10,000, yeah.
30,000, 35,000, 37,000,
38,000, yeah, maybe? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Wow. These guys have to brag. They have to have this stuff. Why? Because they're the ones that you look to believe what they're preaching. They preach, you can have prosperity. Well, how do I know? Look at me. And so they brag and they boast. Ken Copeland calling himself a billionaire, which is a lie. We all know he's only worth about $775 million, but they have to boast about those things. You and I watch it and we're like, that's kind of off-putting. But that's what they've got to do. That's what keeps the bucks rolling in. Hey, if I want to live like Jesse Duplantis with fancy artwork and a 40,000 square foot house, which has got to be the size of a Publix, if I'm not mistaken. That's like living in a grocery store.
That's crazy.
It's a pastor. It's a pastor with private jets in the backyard. Would you like to end our time together on a really depressing note? Well, I've got one for you. James McDonald. Do you remember James McDonald? I do. I liked him. Yeah, our family benefited from his preaching for years. He was on the cinder block bunker in the middle of a field in Eagan, Minnesota, and we played him in our house all the time. He was just on MacArthur and all of these great preachers, just one after the other, and he was one of them. And his fall has been so sad. His latest is that he's being brought to trial. We're not adjudicating the case for beating up a 59-year-old woman. And he's trying to get the case dismissed because of PTSD, because of the way that he was treated through the investigative reporting of Julie Royce for PTSD. Quote, after years of being in an agitated state because of the traumatic memories of being vilified by Julie Royce, the woman rushed at him, triggered a fight or flight response, feeling powerless and misunderstood and trapped in his truck. He got out and whooped her. What a tragic, tragic fall. You're welcome for that bummer. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.